بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the chapter on sincerity from the Riyad al-Salihin. The explanation of which is based upon that of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen رحمه تعالى. And we have reached hadith number 3. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا هجرة بعد الفتح ولكن جهاد ونية وإذا استنفرتم فانفروا. متفق عليه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith reported by Aisha, she said that he صلى الله عليه وسلم said there is no immigration after الفتح, after the conquest of Mecca, but only جهاد ونية, only jihad, striving and fighting in the cause of Allah will continue, and good intention. وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ فَانْفِرُوا. And if you are summoned to fight, then go forth. The meaning, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah put the following statement under this hadith. He said, وَمَعْنَاهُ, and it means لَا هِجْرَةَ مِن مَكَّةِ. It means there is no immigration from Mecca after its conquest. And لِأَنَّهَا صَارَتْ دَارَ إِسْلَامِ, because it turned to be a dar of Islam, a home of Islam. And in this hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام negated the immigration after the conquest of Mecca. فَقَارَ لَا هِجْرَةَ. هذا النفي, this negation, ليس على عمومي, it is not in the general sense, meaning that the hijra, the immigration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for his messenger and for his deen is not nullified and is not discontinued after the conquest of Mecca, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by Abu Dawood in the book of Jihad and by Imam Ahmad, and it is authentic, لا تنقطع الهجرة حتى تنقطع التوبة ولا تنقطع التوبة حتى تخرج الشمس من مغربها. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said immigration will not end, will not cease until repentance ends, and repentance will not end until the sun rises in the west, until the sun rises in the west. So what is intended in the hadith here, the hadith of Aisha, is the negation of the immigration from Mecca, from Mecca, not the immigration in the general sense. As the author rahimahullah, al-Imam al-Nawawi, explained, because لأن مكة, as he said, after the conquest became a land of Islam and will not turn to a land of kufr. ولذلك, and that's why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم negated the immigration after the conquest of Mecca from Mecca. And Mecca was under the authority of the mushriks, and they expelled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from it, and he immigrated by Allah's leave to Al-Madinah, and 8 years later he returned sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Mecca victorious عليه الصلاة والسلام. And so Mecca turned from a land of kufr into a land of faith and land of Islam, and therefore there is no immigration from it afterwards. And in this there is evidence that Mecca will not return to be a land of kufr, rather it will continue to be a land of Islam until the hour is established, or until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, walakin, he explained, walakin jihadun waniya, meaning the matter is after this, after the conquest of Mecca, is jihad, striving in Allah's cause in the battlefield, meaning the people of Mecca will leave Mecca for the sake of jihad, will leave Mecca for the sake of jihad. And then he said, وَنِيَّ, and niyyah, and good intention. The good intention for the jihad for in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the person intends in his jihad that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be prevailing. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِذَا اسْتُنْفِرْتُمْ فَانْفِرُوا, meaning, إِذَا اسْتَنْفَرَكُمْ وَلِيُّ أَمْرِكُمْ لِلْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَانْفِرُوا وُجُوبًا. It means when the ruler mobilizes the people, then they must go forth and they must respond for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning to have the jihad for the sake of Allah the Most High. And under such situation, when the ruler summons or mobilizes the people for jihad, وَحِينَ إِذٍ, and then it becomes that the jihad becomes فَرْضُ عَيْن, it becomes an compulsory duty, an obligatory upon everyone who is accountable. Everyone who is accountable. If people are summoned to fight for the jihad, then in this case they must respond, and no one shall remain behind except by the legal permit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 38 and 39, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ إِنْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ اثَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ أَرَضِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ إلا تنفروا يعذبكم عذابا أليما ويستبدل قوما غيركم ولا تضروه شيئا. This is from Surah At-Tawbah. Oh, you believe, what is the matter with you that when you are asked to march forth in the cause of Allah, meaning in jihad, you cling heavily to the earth? Are you pleased with the life of this world rather than the hereafter? But little is the enjoyment of the life of this world as compared with the hereafter. If you march not forth, he will punish you with a painful torment and will replace you by another people, and you cannot harm him at all, and Allah is able to do all things. So this is one of the situations where the jihad becomes fardu ayn, and obligatory upon every one who is accountable, meaning an individual obligation on those who are accountable. The second situation is when cities are besieged by the enemy. The cities are besieged by the enemy, and this is another situation where the fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes an obligatory upon everyone who is accountable, even the woman and the elderly who are able in this case, because in this case the fighting is a fighting of defense. And as we will see later in other parts of the explanations concerning these matters, the Shaykh rahimahullah also conditioned a very important condition in this regard, and that is, even in the case of repulsion or defense, the ability to conduct the jihad is a condition even under such situation. And we will discuss this later inshallah ta'ala. Now, so people in this case, under the state of the siege, they must also come forth and be mobilized to defend the land, also given the condition of capability or ability, as we will discuss later. The third situation where the jihad becomes an obligatory upon everyone who is accountable, or in short, fardu ayn, is إِذَا حَضَرَ الصَّفُّ وَالْتَقَ الصَّفَّانِ صَفُّ الْكُفَّارِ وَصَفُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ صَارَ الْجِهَادُ حِينَئِذٍ فَرْضَ عَيْنٍ. When the Muslim is present in where fighting is going on between the combatants, the rows of Muslims and the rows of the kafirs are meeting. وَلَا يَجُوزُ لَأَحَدٍ, and there is no permissibility for anyone to leave, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 15, chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم الذين كفروا زحفا فلا تولوهم الأدبار ومن يولهم يومئذ دبره إلا متحرفا لقتال أو متحيزا إلى فئة فقد باء بغضب من الله ومأواه جهنم وبئس المصير. All who you believe, when you meet those who disbelieve in a battlefield, never turn your backs to them, and whoever turns his back to them on such a day, unless it be a stratagem, meaning a strategy of war, or to retreat to a troop of his own, he indeed has drawn upon himself wrath from Allah, and his abode is hell, and worst indeed is that destination. So when there is a strategy, like for example when there is a military maneuver, example leaving to bring reinforcements, or when he is going to join another group of Muslims to strengthen them if they are in a stressed situation, to strengthen them, as long as there is no risk to the group he is in, as long as there is no risk to the group he is in, and running away from such situation when the armies meet with the disbelievers, running away from such a situation is from the seven destructive sins, is from the as-sab' al-mubiqat, the seven destructive sins, running away from the day when the army is advancing. This is one of the sins that doom the person to hell, and the Prophet ﷺ warned from this. And the fourth situation, إذا احتيج للإنسان, the fourth situation when the jihad is فرض عين and obligatory upon everyone who is accountable. إذا احتيج إلى الإنسان, when a person is needed and no one else can do the task except him. For example, if in the case the weaponry is only known to him, and people need that in order to use and utilize this a new weapon, for example, then it becomes an obligatory duty upon him to strive in Allah's face, in Allah's cause, even if the Imam does not summon him for that. Why? Because he is needed. These are the four situations where the jihad is fardu ain, and as to other than that, then it is a collective duty, fardu kifaya, meaning obligatory upon the community as a whole, meaning if some people undertake that, then the rest are relieved of the obligation. This is called fardu kifaya, meaning collective duty. And the people of knowledge, rahimahumullah, said it is binding upon the Muslims that they strive in Allah's cause once in a year, striving against the enemies of Allah in order to have the كلمة الله هي العليا, to have the word of Allah prevailing, لا إله إلا الله, the tawheed of Allah prevailing, not to defend their countries just because this is their national homeland, because defending the country by considering it as just a national homeland, this can come from the believers as well as from the non-believers. Even the kafirs defend their nations because they are their nations. However, the Muslim defends the deen of Allah, so he defends his nation or his country not because it is his country, for example, rather because it is an Islamic country, لأنه بلد إسلامي, and therefore يدافع عنه, he defends it حماية للإسلام, as a protection for Islam in the land. And therefore, under such situations which we live nowadays, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, يجب علينا, it's a must that we remember and remind the common people that the call to liberate the land and the like is not fitting, or rather people should be mobilized to according to a mobilization based upon the deen. The objective is due to our deen. We mobilize and we say that we defend our deen before anything else, because our land is Baladuddin, is a land of deen, land of Islam, which needs protection. So therefore we must defend in accordance with this intention, in accordance with this intention. However, defending because of nationalism or partisanship or the like, this is something occurring by the kafir and by the believer, and it does not benefit the person on the day of resurrection. And if he is killed while his intention is to defend in this manner, then he is not a shaheed, he is not considered as a martyr, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the man fighting out of due to partisanship or showing of bravery or for reputation of showing off, for being praised, for booty, for his place to be seen. He said, and when he was asked about all of this, he said, he was asked, أَيُّ ذَلِكَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, which of these, meaning objectives and aims and intentions, is for the sake of Allah? He said, مَنْ قَاتَلَ لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, whoever fights so that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the prevalent one, then in this case he is in the cause of Allah. So قال شيخنا رحمه الله انتبه إلى هذا القيد, give attention to this restriction, من قاتل لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا, whoever fights so that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes prevalent, لا لأنه وطنه, not because this is his homeland. And if you are fighting for that objective, then you and the kafir are equal, you are the same. لكن however rather instead fight so that the kalima of Allah be the prevalent one. Or exemplified in your country, meaning since it is an Islamic country, so in this case if your objective is corrected in this manner, then it becomes fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has been affirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, لا يكلم أحد في سبيل الله والله أعلم بمن يكلم في سبيله أن يجرح إلا جاء يوم القيامة وجرحه يثعب اللون لون الدم والريح ريح المسك. In the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, if anyone is wounded in Allah's cause, and Allah knows certainly those who are wounded in his cause, except that on the day of resurrection he will become with his wound bleeding. The color is the color of blood, but the smell is that of the smell of musk perfume. So contemplate how the Prophet ﷺ conditioned the shahada that the person fights so that he fights for the sake of Allah, and the fighting for the sake of Allah is to have the word of Allah prevailing. So therefore it's obligatory upon the students of knowledge, he said rahimahullah, to clarify to the people and explain that the fighting for the sake of the homeland is incorrect, and rather the fighting should be to have the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevailing. And وَأُقَاتِلُ عَنْ وَطَنِي, and I defend and I fight for the sake of my land, because mine is an Islamic land, so I protect it from its enemies and the enemies of Islam. And in accordance with this objective, the intention, then this intention would become a correct one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who leads to all successes. In other places related to this subject, and these are very important, because many people nowadays have mixed up, and due to misconceptions, to many misconceptions, confused and mixed up many of the issues related to the legal jihad, and many people indulged in talking about it while they don't have really the knowledge that is needed to speak based upon it and clarify matters in accordance with the textual proofs, and even not considering at all referring the matter to the grand scholars of the Ummah, who are, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, advise the Ummah for that which is in accordance with the Sharia, not in accordance with the whims, desires and emotions that are out of control. Take for example, when the Shaykh rahimahullah was asked concerning giving aid and help to the weak Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina, I believe, he said, if the Muslims in authority in the lands of Islam gave advice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to his messenger, but they are unable, meaning to conduct and give the help, فَاللَّهُ قَدْ عَذَرَهُمْ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would excuse them. This is in his meeting, in which is called the open meeting, which he used to conduct in his house, rahimahullah, and this was the second and number 284, and meeting number 43, question number 990. Meaning from this that the one who could not do or conduct the jihad because of being incapable, then he is excused. Then he, rahimahullah, in the same meeting, which is called Al-Bab al-Maftuh, meeting 42, question number 1095, he said, whether it is fardu kifaya or fardu ayn, whether the jihad is collective duty or fardu ayn, an obligatory duty upon everyone who is capable, فَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ شُرُوطٍ, it's inevitable that it must be based on conditions. من أهمها, most important of which, القدرة, the ability. فإن لم يكن لدى الإنسان قدرة فإنه لا يلقي لنفسه إلى التهلكة. If the person is incapable, then in this case he does not throw himself into destruction. So here you listen carefully and contemplate. He said, if it is a فرض كفاية or فرض عين, and we know now the فرض العين, we went over that, four situations. From them even is the jihad of defense. And therefore this is included in the condition, meaning the ability. In another source, he, rahimahullah, said in the explanation of the book of jihad from the Bulugh al-Maram, from the book of Bulugh al-Maram, the first tape, or the first tape, face number A, he said, if someone says to us nowadays, لماذا لا نحارب أمريكا وروسيا وفرنسا وإنجلترا, why don't we fight America and Russia and France and UK, why, لماذا, then he answered رحمه الله by saying لعدم القدرة, because of the inability. And then he compared the weapons we have compared to theirs and described our weapons are like knives compared to their rockets. ما تفيد شيئا, it doesn't benefit. فكيف يمكن أن نقاتل هؤلاء, so how could it be that we can possibly to fight them. Then he said, ولهذا أقول إنه من الحمق, it is foolishness for someone to say أنه يجب علينا, that it is binding upon us, obligatory upon us to fight America, France, Inglaterra, UK, England, and Russia. كيف نقاتل؟ How are we going to fight them? هذا تأباه حكمة الله عز وجل. This is something which is not fitting to the hikmah, to the wisdom of Allah, the most mighty and most majestic. And also, it is not something condoned by His شرع ويأباه شرعه. لكن الواجب علينا, what is the duty bound upon us, is أن نفعل ما أمر الله به عز وجل, is that we do and execute that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most mighty and majestic, commands. أعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة, prepare for them the واستطعتم, what you are able to prepare from means of strength. هذا الواجب علينا, this is the obligation upon us. And وأهم قوة, and the most important of power we prepare, هو الإيمان والتقوى, faith and piety. So from this you can easily understand that the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His legal commands do not condone that Muslims indulge in fighting enemies, their enemies, when they are in a state of weakness, and that the weak should prepare, and the preparedness is not only the weaponry, because the weapon is materialistic and faith, and the preparedness on the level of the faith is more of an obligation than the materialistic and the physical aspect. And the call to fight in state of inability is, as the Shaykh rahimahullah described it, is a type of foolishness. Then in his explanation of the same book which we are discussing now, which is Riyad al-Salihin, and in volume 3, and in the beginning of the book of Jihad, page 375, he said, fighting is obligation, is an obligation. ولكنه كغيره من الواجبات, but just like other obligations, لابد من القدرة. There is the condition for ability. والأمة الإسلامية اليوم عاجزة. And the Islamic Ummah nowadays is عاجزة, incapable. لا شك عاجزة, there is no doubt that it is عاجزة, incapable. ليس عندها قوة معنوية ولا قوة مادية. It does not possess neither the tangible nor the intangible strength and power. إذن يسقط الوجوب, يسقط الوجوب عدم القدرة. So therefore this takes away the obligation. فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم, fear Allah to the best of your ability. And in the meeting which is called Al-Bab Al-Maftuh, the open door meeting, meeting number 33, question number 977, he said, لكن الآن ليس بأيدي المسلمين ما يستطيعون به جهاد الكفار. It's not in the capacity of Muslims nowadays to fight the kafirs. حتى ولا جهاد مدافع, not even the defensive type of jihad and repelling. Explicit that ability, even in the case of repelling and or defending, is something conditional, that the ability is one of the conditions for the two types of jihad, the collective and the compulsory or the obligatory one, which is fardu ayn, obligatory on everyone who is capable. Also, he, rahimahullah, said in the collection of his fatawa, volume 18, page 388, he said, "Inna fi asina al-hadir yata'adharu qiyamu bil-jihad fi sabilillah." In our times, it is not possible to conduct jihad in the cause of Allah بالسيف ونحوه, by the sword and the like. لضعف المسلمين ماديا ومعنويا, because of the weak state of the Muslims on the physical and the intangible levels. وعدم اتيانهم بأسباب النصر الحقيقية, because of their lack of preparation and taking by the means for that bring forth, or the means for attaining the real victory. And because ولأجل دخولهم في المواثيق والعهود الدولية, and because now they are part of the covenants, the international covenants and treaties. فلم يبقى إلا الجهاد بالدعوة إلى الله, such that there remains only the jihad by inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala على بصيرة, based on sure knowledge. So from what we have heard, we should not therefore be swayed by uncontrolled emotions, following anyone without basira, without sure knowledge regarding these matters. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make of this explanation a benefit for myself and for everyone who listens to it. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi sahbihi wa sallam.